Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
What's up, everyone? I'm Noah Daniels.
Hey, y'all. I'm JJ.
Hey, guys. It's Kat.
And if you're like Kat and JJ and you love UFOs, you love aliens, and you want more of that on the podcast, well, this is the episode for you. We have a really awesome guest who not only is into that part of, I guess, do we call it the paranormal? I feel like aliens are a species more than a paranormal. But if you're into that, he has actually made a movie that goes through a lot of this stuff. I have watched the trailer and it's pretty exciting. I'm not going to lie. I definitely want to see the movie too. We have on the episode Patrick Cutler. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And the movie is titled Red Gate, and it's about UFO and alien encounters in a small town in Western Montana.
Yeah, so look, the movie kind of started out me writing about some old folklore tale back when we were kids, grew up around the campfire. There's this old tale. It's this whole place that happens on the outskirts of a town called Deer Lodge, Montana. And basically, it's this deep valley with two huge mountain ranges on both sides in Western Montana. And back in the day, they had mining communities up before they founded the town. And one of the mining communities was actually a place called Emory. And this guy had a homestead. One day he comes home from his homestead and goes in his barn and everything, his house. And he takes an axe and chops up his wife. And then he chops up his two kids. And the next day, they say they found him outside of his homestead, painting the gate red with their blood. Thus
Wait,
the name Red Gate.
That's why the town's called that?
Yeah, Red Gate is the it's an area outside the town, but it's this big area in the mountains.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, so, man,
that's creepy for like the people in that area to be like, yeah, that was a weird thing. Let's name this area Red Gate after the blood of the children. That was
it's really kind of weird because a lot of people still kind of try to refuse it and deny it and all these things based and all kinds of stuff that happened up in this particular area known as Red Gate. So there's not like an official, you won't find it like an official map as like a stamp on a map or anything.
Right. Were the kids supposed to be like it was their ghost using the paint or like they were?
No, it was their father that just murdered them, painting the gate red.
Oh.
Yeah, with their blood is, and that's where it started out with me. Is like that was supposed to be like a folklore tale, and I was going to do more of like a fictional type movie. But then I started doing research on all the stuff. All the stuff popped up, and it turns out like that tale itself, people are saying that even that tale was likely true, and they just didn't want to talk about it because there's a guy way back in like the 1800s owned a bunch of land up there in the mountains, and all his gates were red, and he changed them because of that story and everything.
So you got drawn into this area for that story, but then it sounds to me like the motto needs to be like, come for the grisly murders, stay for the UFOs, you know, like
you can use that as a tag on the next trailer. Real haunting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so I started doing research on the town, and there have been alien stories, UFO stories throughout the history of this area called Red Gate. Yeah. The more I started doing more background, the more things popped up. One of the spookiest things, they say the town was actually founded upon a Native American massacre burial ground. And the reason they say that is I did research on this even, and there used to be these people that are called the Métis people. They lived in the valley before any European settlers came along. And if you read the history of Deer Lodge, the Métis people, they just kind of like disappear. You never hear from them ever again. These European settlers came in and took over. And this is back in the day. There's all kinds of like Native American massacres all over. And it makes you wonder like, well, what happened to the people that used to live here? So they say the town was built on cursed land to begin with.
So you're doing this research, and I mean, it all sounds like pretty gruesome and interesting. And then fast forward, you discover this picture of an actual alien caught on a trail cam.
So yeah, I was kind of in the post-production process of the film, and this kind of changed routes with the movie is that I had a buddy I haven't seen in years contact me, hey, you want to come on TV? They're doing a stories on the Red Gate area and UFO sightings there and stuff. You want to come on with me and talk about it? So I'm like, sure, heck with it all. I'll come on and talk, you know. And then I met up with him, and I haven't seen him in a long, long time. And he shows me, yeah, check this out. He shows me his cell phone. He had downloaded the picture off of his cell phone from one of his hunting trail cameras. And just to give an overview of things, he works for a lot of different people where he's allowed to set up like 150, 200 different trail cams in all this private area, not only in the Red Gate area, but all across all the mountains here, kind of in this broad area. So this was one of the cameras that was in the Red Gate area that he had set up on private property pretty much. And he showed me this image, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I can't tell what the hell it is. It was really weird when I first saw it, because it's the first time I've ever seen it. Once he showed me that, it was kind of like, okay, well, maybe there's more of the story than I realized. So then I started doing some more research with him, and he actually took me up to the area. It's like he has access to this private property. So it's like the area that this camera, this photo was taken on, is actually technically public, but you had to go through private land to get there pretty much. Mm-hmm. So he drove me right outside the gate of the private land. We went over the gate, and I started taking video up there and researching the area and everything else. And then I got more and more stories of things that had occurred and had happened in Red Gate, from aliens, UFOs, to everything else. And it all kind of started, though, with this picture.
And one thing that we should ask you that we'd love to find out from our guest. So, and we'll do it two ways with you. So on our Believo-meter, 0 to 10, just out of curiosity, where do you fall on believing in ghosts? 0 meaning they're not real, 10 they're absolutely real. And the same question for UFOs and aliens.
I'd say on ghosts, I'd probably go like an 8. Okay. So I'm pretty sure that they are real. You know, everyone, you know, there's a lot of things out there like ghosts. So I'm pretty high there. But aliens, it's like, man, the odds of us being alone in this entire universe and everything else is practically 0. So I definitely believe a 10 when it comes to aliens. They're 100%.
For sure. And when you were doing all this research and you're actually out physically in, you know, Montana, talking to people, filming, I picture Montana being, you know, like a lot of cowboys and like kind of macho men. What was their response to you investigating, you know, these ideas of aliens and kind of wild things happening in their area?
It feels like for me personally, it was kind of hard to get a hold of a lot of these people because a lot of them didn't really want to talk about it. Or I would shoot an interview with someone that had footage of UFO stuff, and I get the footage from them, I'd interview them, and then I'd message them and say, hey, we're going to screen the movie tonight, and then they wouldn't return any of my messages or anything. And so I've gotten weird vibes from a lot of them. I just interviewed someone this past week that he came on, and I finally got him to do a sit-down interview. But a lot of them, they don't want to talk about it. They don't want really anything to do with it. My buddy Don, he's worked on a bunch of different ranches. And there was a cattle mutilation on one of the ranches where, you know, it comes in and the cattle is just missing all its blood and organs and everything. And there's just like a little tiny slit in the cow or whatever that's really unexplainable how these mutilations happen. Really bizarre. And the rancher basically just said, hey, take it to the dead pit. I don't want to hear about it again.
The dead pit?
Yeah. And basically, they throw dead animals and stuff in like some kind of pit or something and burn them. I don't know.
So is the thought that aliens may have harvested the organs of the cow?
And I think that's kind of the thought of it, is that they might have harvested the organs, and why would they would drain it all out and everything just so weirdly. And again, these situations have, there's no animal marks or claws or bite marks or incision marks. There's like nothing on these cattle mutilation things. They're just, that's what makes it so bizarre. But you're like, okay, it's sucking all its organs and blood out, but for what reason?
Yeah. Wow. And that it's like so surgical, it sounds like. Cause I want to be like, of course, like the organs and stuff is missing if it was attacked by like a predator or something, but or an alien predator, like a, but yeah, if it's just like a slit and they're taken out.
Maybe it was like a scientist alien, yeah. Like a, they're doing research.
Yeah. or a mad scientist human that just wants to study cow organs.
Good point. Good point.
I also think the likelihood of there being something else out there is strong. I think it's a bit myopic to think that we're the only intelligent species in a never-ending universe. I don't know. For some reason, it's harder for me to believe in aliens that are quote unquote here versus like ghosts, which is so strange. But for some reason, ghosts to me feel more tangible. Maybe it's because we've interviewed like 120 people about their ghost stories, and we're going to start doing more alien content. You're going to kind of be the first of that series. What is it about aliens through your research, or is there anything that has pushed you more to being like, okay, this story, this part of the research, I really feel like is true?
The biggest thing for me is the more and more I do this, and the more documentaries I watch, the more investigations I do just in aliens in general. And there's just so much information out there, even with like the Pentagon releasing all the UFO stuff, and they're going to meet on that on Tuesday for the first time in like decades. And for me personally, it's like, there's a lot of information now out there, like a lot of different types of photos and stories and all these different things occurring. And I guess if it, when it pertains to Red Gates, when I've heard there's tons of people who have stories of driving up there in that area and seeing lights in the sky that's following them. And there's people that they've done this documentary called The Secret of Red Gate. It was released like 16 years ago. And they did past regression hypnosis with people. They brought up old memories when they were kids back in the 50s when they actually visited aliens.
Whoa. Yeah, I would love to hear that one.
If you go on YouTube, go on YouTube and search The Secret of Red Gate. And that old documentary is on there. And it is really interesting because they're like emotional and they're talking about when they were kids and they called them their gray friends. They met down by the river and they got on their spacecraft and all this. And then they described the creatures being 4 feet high, gray with huge black eyes. Really interesting.
Wow.
They're all, yeah.
So do you have like a theory for why Montana is saturated? It sounds like more so with these stories or sites or.
It seems like the more rural, it seems like the less likelihood they're going to get captured on camera or whatever else, you know, that's the thing I would say, that it does seem like the rural areas of mountains and things of that nature, even say like Roswell, New Mexico, you know, stuff like that, where it's like, you know, they feel like it's, I don't think it's safer or what it is, but it is odd though. You know, you don't see, you know, a spacecraft just flying down the middle of like New York City or something like that.
Trying to keep a low profile.
Yeah.
Trying to do their research.
Yeah. Or follow the prime directive. They can't mess with us because we're a pre-warp society.
Yeah. Kind of.
Maybe us two are the only Star Trek nerds here.
But. I like the idea that we're like an ant farm they created or something like that. So they created us and
yeah,
just come down and monitor what we're doing.
Yeah, and do little tests and probes. I mean, yeah, you never
we're
know.
Like a wildlife preserve or something.
They're probably right now they're probably looking at the political situations and being like, shit, yeah, we fucked up.
Should we do something?
Or we're just like their reality show. They're watching our political situation.
Oh, gosh.
Like, man, TV's getting so trashy.
Oh my gosh, there's so many different genres of TV shows that they're watching or able to tune into.
So, JJ, I'm curious because I know you're such an alien enthusiast. Do you, in your heart of hearts, if there are aliens out there, do you think that they're going to be safe and fun to interact with? Or do you think they're going to come down and slit you open and harvest your organs like that cow?
I don't know. I mean,
it depends. Like, oh, wait, this is JJ's answer.
It's, well, I mean, you can answer too. I don't know. Do you think we're going to be attacked by aliens up there?
I mean, it depends. It depends on what type of alien it is, where they're from, and what their goal is. I mean, I'm going purely based off of Star Trek.
Yeah.
But I would hope their first contact is supposed to be peaceful and trying to understand us and help us. But there's probably something that we have to discover on our own first before they're allowed to, just like Star Trek.
Yeah. See, I think more of like Mars Attacks, you know, like I think of the hippies that had like the signs or even Independence Day, you know, like the woo, here they come. And then they just get vaporized or like, yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm just more of a fear-based human.
If there are aliens that are like advanced enough to, you know, go to different galaxies, then like they could probably beat the shit out of us, right?
But
maybe they only got that advanced as a civilization by, you know, being peaceful and cooperating. And like, part of me is optimistic. And like, if they're only slitting cows open and harvesting their organs, it sounds like that's just like scientific.
If they could, they would. If they wanted to, they would have.
Yeah. Right.
Well, just think about how we treat dolphins. You know, we know they're intelligent species, and, you know, we make people go to, well, we don't make them, but you can go to Cancun and like ride a dolphin with your feet, you know, like it's, let's, that part, yeah, is a little scary.
I'd be more scared they'd want to just like dissect us or do like weird, I'm just gonna say weird things. I'm gonna leave it at weird things.
You wanted to say sex things. I know.
When we did have an alien episode, she did talk about how it felt very like testing, like they'd keep them in different rooms, and based on stories we've read, like people that are getting poked and prodded and like tested and that kind of stuff. I don't know. I want to hear from Patrick though about his thoughts on all this as we ramble over nothing that we know about.
Well, exactly. So I mean, that I was kind of bridging it to Patrick because I was curious, or I am curious, in your research, where do you kind of side on that? Do you think that they may be independent beings, that some are nice, some are bad, or do you think we're in for chaos at some point?
I think a little bit of both. My thing is, do you guys know who David Greer is?
The name sounds familiar.
Okay. But so David Greer, he's been doing what he invented was called the CE5 meditations. And basically, it consists of getting around and meditating and asking to make contact with ETs and summoning them through a group of people. Uh-huh. And you can do them on your own. It's really interesting because he has this movie out I watched not too long ago called Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, where they have video after video and image after image of these different UFOs that appeared when they were doing a CE5 meditation, which is really, really interesting. But that guy, he's been around for a while, and his theory is all of them are peaceful. If they could have taken us out already, they would have taken us out. Uh-huh. So I don't fully agree with him, because there is documentation and things that show some aren't so peaceful. There's been reports, you know, not too long ago about a UFO type visitations where people ended up with like radioactive burns and things. And there's a lady that got impregnated by an alien, or I can't remember what it all was, but there's been other stories that says they're not quite so peaceful. But I think it's like the best way I would look at it is like, if you have the entire human race, you can't say everyone in the human race is a good person. You have mass murders out there.
Right.
So the idea that all aliens are friendly to me is not an accurate idea. But I also think, you know, if you say that, well, they could all take us out whenever they want to, they probably have some kind of code or rules that they can't, you know, they can't just come down here and just kill everybody. Like, that's not like,
yeah. I mean, like, if the roles were reversed, like, we are aliens too, then. And like, if we suddenly discovered, like, they could all be on different levels of discovering us in general. Maybe some aliens have discovered like a bunch of different galaxies and universes and planets or whatever, and like civilizations. Maybe some have only just found one and it's us. And of course, they're gonna, if we found aliens, we would be careful and hopefully observant and just curious and not want to go kill out an entire new species that we have no idea about.
I'd say the history of humankind,
that's true,
makes me think that we wouldn't be that
well maybe
careful.
A select peaceful. Few would
tell it to the dodo bird.
But to Patrick's point, there would probably be rules and regulations until the stupid Americans got their way. And
you look at like a, like say for example like a dog, like, you know, if human beings want to take out every single dog on planet Earth, probably wouldn't be easy, but we probably could do that. But why why would you do that? You know,
right?
How would you do it?
right. Yeah.
Well, Patrick, we love diving into like kind of the skeptic side of things as well. In all your research for your film and just your general curiosity into UFOs and aliens, are there any telltale signs that our audience should look for when they're investigating UFOs that may prove them, you know, like, oh, maybe this part is doctored or manufactured?
My biggest thing is, because you see this stuff all the time on Twitter and everywhere else in social media, is like, if an image seems too good to be true, And it's probably not. And that you'll recognize it when you see it. Like if it seems like a spacecraft off of like Independence Day,
right.
It's probably not an agoraphobe. You see a lot of these come out and they're like, no, that's not a spacecraft. That's just like a street light that's angled weird against the light in Texas. I saw one like that come out. I was like, what is that? And I saw another one that came out the other day. The guy's like looking out his airplane window and it looks like a spaceship, but it's like, that's too... I can perfectly see every little part of the spaceship. It's like, if you can see it highly detailed, you know, when you think about these ETs moving super beyond space and time continuums, we understand they move that fast. The odds that you're going to get a perfectly captured spacecraft just sitting up there and you get you capture all the details of it.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Well, you think of the videos from like the Air Force. I mean, like you were saying, those are so fast. It's hard to, just like a blur of energy going around. I like your rule of thumb as if it seems too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true. I think that's a good thing to remember with all of this stuff that we kind of talk about on our podcast. So we've heard about the cow mutilations, the trail cam picture. Were there some other things from where you've talked to people or evidence that has been captured that led you to more believe the UFO stories in that part of Montana?
This guy I met, he captured a couple UFOs on his cell phone camera up in the sky. That was a really interesting one. There's been a lot of stories of people that have, again, driven up there with the UFOs and seen them up there. I think some of the things, and this is going back to just the energy of this place in Redgate, I think some of the murders and things that have occurred in this area, like the biggest one was, it almost feels like a reenactment of the original Redgate story, but this is this one, unlike the Redgate, this one's fully documented and really did happen for 100% fact. A guy came home several years back and they had, it was like a house cabin up in the Redgate area. And I'm not sure what his deal was, if he was possessed by a demon or it was just bizarre what he did. He went outside, took a gun, shot his 4-year-old son in the head, shot his 5-year-old son in the head, went inside, shot his 15-month-old daughter in the head, then shot his wife in the head, put them all in a bed, let the house on fire, laid down next to him, and shot himself. Out of nowhere.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, just completely out of nowhere. That like it's just like, so it just feels like there's just this weird energy there. And then also in the Reka area, it's like you have the Continental Divide and everything. This is like the only valley in Montana that, that flows like east to west instead of like north to south. And there are these massive, like huge, huge power lines going right through the middle of those mountains in the Red Gate area. And they say that can attract a lot of freaking power and can different beings from different dimensions can use it as a portal to kind of drift through there. So that's another thing they say where that could be attracting a lot of energy there.
So, I mean, how much do you buy into energy portal explanation?
Yeah, that's a hard thing. We talk about science and you talk about I always look to like quantum physics and the nature of quantum physics and things of that we have an unlimited amount of dimensions that we're living in and how you could shift from in between dimensions. Like what if people did that on a very high energetic level that they were able to shift from one dimension to the next really quickly like that. So that's kind of my overview on it is kind of the quantum physics overview of multiverse, multi-world theory of coming between worlds is kind of what I, but it's such an interesting topic because it's hard to prove, but then there's also like string theory. There's all these theories out there that like, okay, this is making sense how this is possible.
The quadratic formula.
Yeah.
PEMDAS. I'm just throwing out any formula that I know that's useless to me. Although PEMDAS has been pretty useful.
So that's interesting to me. There's been those two like really bizarre murder cases. And it sounds like there's more than that too. I'd imagine like if living in an area where there's already all these UFO sightings, and then you have these murders. Are people like connecting the two things together?
I think so. I think some people really are connecting some of the dots here because there are, for the size of a town like Georgia, there's only like 2,000 people. For some of the murders and things that occur that frequently in a town like this, some of the crazy stuff like car crashes even, or those are like more general, can't quite connect those, but like some of the crazier ones, it really makes you wonder like, you know, is the energy just really bad here or what is going on? It's attracting aliens, UFOs, paranormal. The prison was originally, because Deer Lodge, Montana is the site of the Montana State Prison, and the prison was originally in town, and it's now the old Montana State Prison. It's still up because they turned into a museum, and you go to the old Montana State Prison, do a ghost tour there, and the paranormal activity there is off the charts crazy.
Really?
It's like nuts. Yeah, it's like really nuts.
Did you experience something while touring the museum?
I did. So we used to have a theater group. We used to do theater plays inside the old Montana State Prison Museum because there was an old stage there and stuff, and it was just a cool location. Well, at night when the people that ran the museum left, we'd have the keys and we'd sneak back into the old prison and we'd do our own tours through the old cell blocks and everything. And yeah, there's like a place like you can walk into, you can almost just feel the activity almost like at night. That place is spooky. I don't think I'd go back now. It's I can just feel the energy there. And we this is a while back, we used to record like audio and get like EVP weird stuff, weird voices and stuff. And it's just a weird, yeah, it's really weird.
I want to go, but I'm also terrified.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm hypersensitive to that kind of feeling. And Noah is a little bit like this too. Not that we've like all gone together to a place like this, but Noah and I both have stories of like just kind of feeling that feeling in the room. But JJ claims to have no clue what that feels like. And we all try to explain it to him, but I'm dying to go somewhere. And
if I were to go into like an old prison building, yeah, I would feel like a little creeped out and by like, you know, just because that's a creepy building. But in terms of I feel like the paranormal energy, like I don't know how like, how you decipher that versus this is just my general impression of this place because it's scary. Not to discount anyone's experience, but just for me personally,
we just need to take you to more haunted prison.
You should. Yeah, you should. So. It's yeah, it's been on like Ghost Adventures, all kinds of things. This old Montana State Prison is pretty cool. But like, here's how I would put it. Like, so we do an annual Haunted House Creep Show type thing. And last year in October, we did it in what used to be an old funeral home. And it's not the first time it's ever been done in the history of any town, but people freaked out. I mean, huge deal about the door. And I was like, well, nobody actually dies at a funeral home. They're just, their body's taken there. They have a ceremony, whatever.
Right.
So if you walk, for me personally, I walked through this entire funeral home and it's, it looks kind of creepy and everything else, but I felt nothing when I walked through there. Like I felt no energy, like nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You go through the old Montana State Prison, even during the daytime by yourself in certain areas. And it's just like, this feels weird.
That's so funny. This is so random and off, not super off topic, but I went to a funeral the other week and at a funeral home, obviously that's where the service was. And all these doors were open and like, you had to look at a list for where your person was to go visit and greet the family and stuff. And so we had to walk past three open doors and no one was in these rooms except just an open casket and three bodies just like in.
That's weird.
You had to like walk down a hall and just look at three different bodies chilling. Oh, wrong room. Wait,
yeah.
I thought she got cremated. Oh, that's not her. You know, literally we were all saying that because it was so confusing, but the same thing, like I could have just gone in there and chilled with them. Like there was, I felt nothing. I mean, sadness and you know, that kind of stuff, but I wasn't feeling creeped out by it. Cause it's true. I mean, that's not where the energy is. That's not where they died. It was weird though. Yeah.
Well, Patrick, and I'm surprised we haven't asked this yet, but have you encountered an extraterrestrial in person?
I personally have not seen one in person myself. I've had kind of the usual, I would say, UFOs in the sky. I've seen, I wouldn't say a ton of them. I've seen them a couple times over my life. But yeah, I've never personally, I've seen a ghost before after my grandfather died. But no alien or anything like that ever in person for me.
Is that a goal of yours now that you've, is the film completely wrapped and in?
It's wrapped and there's just a few things that I'm working on, but it's going to release here in the next couple months, probably end of the summer, early fall, somewhere in there.
So now that you've really invested in, you know, all this UFO genre, is that a goal of yours? Do you want to see an alien in person or are you okay with kind of keeping them at hand's reach?
So for me personally, we've met people that we're working with right now in a couple of different documentaries and TV shows and things of that nature. And one of them believes heavily in that CE5 meditation I was talking to about. Mm-hmm. So I've only had time to kind of mess around with one of those, but I would like to be part of a CE5 meditation where we, again, you can do it by yourself. So you don't have to have a group of people. I would like to do one of those and we might have someone come up this summer, but I would love to do one of those in the Red Gate area and try to see if we can get like some kind of ET to show up in the sky or whatever would be really kind of cool. So personally, I'd say I'd want to at some point, because I do think they're a little bit like ghosts where they might be scary to some people, but they don't ghosts. I haven't seen ghosts ever really attack somebody before.
Right. Yeah.
And JJ, I know you're a big fan of anal probing. Do you want to meet an alien?
Wow. But not for that reason.
Sorry, that joke came on a little strong.
Wow.
No, leave it in.
That's what she said. But also the anal probe person said that too.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm really good at jokes tonight.
I would love to meet an alien. And I mean, even if it was like a vicious, I'm going to destroy your planet alien, at least like my last moment of life would be getting to meet an alien. I mean, that would be amazing.
Kat, do you share that same sentiment?
I'm cool. I'm chill. I'd meet one tomorrow. Let's go.
I feel like that's your like Craigslist listing to meet an alien. I'm cool. I'm chill. Let's go. Let's go. Just come on down.
Let's do it.
If the alien is like ET, I'm down. Like if it'll hang out with stuffed animals and have a glowy finger, like I'm cool with that.
But also if they need some, like if they're researching, like I'll go, but bring me back. But like,
we'll donate our bodies to.
No, I'll go give some blood. Like, come on, bring me back.
Well, Patrick, when you saw that trail cam footage and maybe we can like post the picture to our Instagram or something. Mm-hmm. But for people who are listening and not seeing, you know, you see this bipedal figure. It's kind of grayed out. It looks like one color in the description. They described it as naked, and yeah, like it, you don't really see any like clothes hanging off of this thing. How did that make you feel? And was there like a part of you that was just like, oh, this is a person. It looks gray because it's like a night vision camera. Or are you convinced that like, yes, that is for sure an extraterrestrial?
So for me personally, when I first saw it, I wasn't sure what I was looking at exactly. But then I got some more of the details broken down to me, and we start to break down everything. So the first part is this was shot late at night or later on at night in end of October. So it's dark. It's way up in the mountains. It's basically a human being can't access this because it's basically on private property. And so it's very hard to access. And that's a trail that if a human being was going on that trail, the trail is facing north and south, and this thing's coming across east and west. So you couldn't go really east and west. You'd have to go down the trail north and south. And then the other thing is my buddy who got the image of this, he did a comparison photo where he went back up there on the exact same time at night when it was dark out and ran across the trail cam as fast as he could with like a hoodie on. Mm-hmm. And his photo is totally different. Like it looks
really?
Like you could see the first thing is on the image, like on his image with those night trail cams, if it has eyes like a human being, they'll do that like almost that flare in their eyes will be lit up like white.
Mm-hmm.
So its eyes aren't lit up at all. And there seems to be like a little bit of a halo over this thing compared to the human comparison photo also. And then you look at the legs, and the legs are almost like chopped off, like they're going so fast you can't even like see the legs.
Right.
And then if there was a person, where is its backpack? Where is its, like, you can't make out anything, not even fingers or hands or anything human on it can be made out on an image. There's just, I think it's way harder for me to prove, or someone to prove that that's an actual human being would be very, very difficult to prove.
It doesn't look like a human. I mean, even its mouth and the structure of its face is very bizarre looking.
Be interesting to see a map of like where it was, because you know, like we don't, when I saw the picture, like I didn't know like if this was close to the road or to a trail. And like hearing how, first of all, middle of the night, October in Montana, probably freezing.
But it sounds like a very hard to get to place through private property and on part of a trail that would not normally see humans, right?
Yeah, so hikers.
we don't know any human beings who have, because he has cameras set up along that trail and other parts, and we don't know any human being that's actually accessed that location through public land, which is the only legal way to access it. Because part of the reason he sets up these trail cams is to monitor this multi-million-dollar guy who owns all his property in Montana. And if he ever catches a human being on any of these cameras, it's not supposed to be there. He'll send that to the owner, and the owner will end up like actually prosecuting the person in court and everything. It's like that intense. So like
I've seen Yellowstone. I know what they actually do to those people. Don't you lie, Patrick.
Yeah, that's a little worse than that. So yeah, it's no human being has been found making it to that area without, you know, having being granted access to the private property to get on there.
The image you got from the trail photo, is it like a still image or is it like a video capture as well?
So it's a still image. And this is the other bizarre thing that I left out. This it's motion detected and it catches images. It takes like three pictures in like 1 second or 2 seconds, something like that. It's really quick. And the first image is that image you're seeing of that alien figure. The other two images were black and the camera got completely fried and died on the spot.
Oh,
weird.
Yeah, and this is a camera that had a life battery of at least a year at that point.
Because that's like a lot of people's rebuttal is, we have these new high quality cameras. Why can't anyone just get a good picture of an alien that they're claiming to see?
Yeah, obviously the aliens who made it all the way over here have better technology than our cameras.
But like, they have something that's their universal code. No one can document that we are here. And if they are, let's confuse the shit out of them by making it super blurry or killing their camera.
The first thing is like, how do you know when the alien's going to appear? And then the second thing, when it does appear, it's like, they're always moving so fast. Like you'd have to have someone would have to have a really nice camera, be really, really prepared to really slow it. I don't know. It's just difficult.
Yeah,
that's wild. Well, we're getting close to our hour, but I would love, you know, for you to give a full pitch to our audience on your movies. And once it releases, please let us know, you know, so we can share those details to our audience.
100%. So yeah, Red Gate is going to be coming out here in the next couple of months. It's 100% true stories of this crazy, bizarre area. We have cattle mutilations, murders, UFO sightings, paranormal activity, and it's got more bizarre stories than you'll ever imagine. And the film is extremely well done. It's been previewed by a couple of different people. The rough cut has been, and we've had nothing but great reviews. It's won several awards at film festivals across the country, and we were really excited to like finally kind of releasing the film and exposing everything within this area in this film. It's really going to blow your mind when it finally comes out.
Man, I can't wait to see it. Well, Kat and JJ, did y'all have any more questions for Patrick before we get him out of here?
Just if you get more alien footage, please send it our way, because I live for this. Seriously, like every time I see NASA sends out a press release, I'm like, they found aliens, didn't they? And it's always it's just a black hole in the center of the universe.
Yeah.
Oh, just a stupid black hole. Just a
black hole.
Another black hole. Yeah.
So exciting.
We got to come up with a alien noise instead of the ooh to make it the end of the podcast, but I don't really know what.
Is it alien?
I feel like that's copyrighted. Whatever.
Or Star- oh yeah. I can't do that. Oh,
good
one.
Point. Good point. Good point.
We'll stick to the woo.
We'll do a woo a little more nasally, I guess.
Okay. Well, Patrick, before we get you out of here, do you have anything else you want to plug or anything else you want to add?
No, just check out secretofredgate.com is where the film's probably going to be released here in the next couple months. You never know what might happen. They might try to steal the film from me, but no.
And what's your social media if our fans want to follow anything you've got going on?
If you search Google Patrick W. Cutler or Patrick W. Cutler on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, that's my main thing. But if you want to follow anything regards to Redgate, starting all the way back to the beginning, search the hashtag Redgate film. So hashtag Redgate film.
Just really quick, can you describe your ghost that you saw after your grandpa passed away?
Yeah. So I was actually at a football game on a Friday night. It was a high school football game here in town. And on the back behind one of the end zones, there's like a dirt track and there's like a hillside. And as kids, we used to run up on down those hillsides all the time during the games. And we're at the top of this hillside and we're just running around. And all of a sudden I'm running with my buddy and in the distance, I don't know, it's like 20 yards in the distance, I see just a white image that looks like a person. And it's just like standing there. So of course, as kids, we just start running closer to it and closer. And we ran and ran and ran. As we're running, you know, about 10 yards away, it suddenly just disappears into thin air. And it was just really weird. I was like, you saw that, right? I was like, yeah, we both saw it. So it was just like, it's really bizarre. Maybe it was like more like 30 yards away, but it was like, we ran towards it as fast as we could and it just disappeared as we got there.
Weird. It's always affirming to have your friend with you too, just to be like, okay, I'm not crazy. That was there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. I was like, yeah, you saw that, right?
Wow.
So with that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm JJ.
I'm Kat.
I'm Patrick Cutler.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.